Chapter 6, A Place Called Hell. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Luke 16, verses 23 and 24. On March 2nd, the Lord awakened me at 3 a.m. His visit lasted for 3 hours. As usual, we started our journey at the seashore. This time, the Lord and I walked for a while. I wondered where he was taking me. I noticed that the hill with so many trees and bushes was to our right. At the bottom of the hill, close to the sand, were many large and small rocks. We sat on a large rock, and I noticed that the clear water suddenly turned to blood. It always disturbed me to see this reminder of the Lord's sacrifice, so I began to look up, turning my head away from the sea. Just then, I noticed that the nearby mountains were ablaze with bright red flames. I was very surprised at this scene. The brightness of the blaze was soon replaced by a dark, smoky haze that covered the entire scene. People were fleeing from some unknown location and heading toward the beach. I noticed that some of them were naked, as if they had had to leave their beds so quickly that they had not had time to dress. Panic was on their faces, and they were running as fast as they could. Some stumbled, and the throng ran right over them. They seemed to be fleeing from some terrifying monster. Soon the entire beach around us was filled with these frightened people. The fire they were fleeing from now filled the surrounding area. More surprising was that flames began to leap from the bloody ocean. It was as if the world was coming to an end right in front of me. Outbursts of flame were popping from the ocean as if from miniature volcanoes, and the flames began to creep toward the shoreline. It was intensely frightening, and I began to sob as I listened to the screams of the mob around me. Before this time, we had only sat peacefully on the sand on this beach. The scene taking place in front of me was horrifying and terrifying. I knew the Lord had a purpose for showing these things to me. Suddenly the scene changed back to normal. Why are you showing this to me, Lord?
All the things you see are going to happen very soon. So many people do not believe my word. So I have chosen you to help them see the truth. What I show to you, I want you to tell the world.
There was anger in the tone of the Lord's voice. We left the rock where we were sitting and walked along the sand. Jesus spoke once more.
I must show you more of the kingdom.
We went through the usual processes to get there. I had the privilege once again of standing before the Lord's throne with so many others who were humbling themselves in His presence. I joined in the worship that all of us were experiencing, and it was a wonderful time of peace, adoration, joy, and blessing. My visits to the Lord's throne room have opened my eyes to the great importance of worship in our lives. This was what we have been created for, to worship God and to enjoy Him forever. This is how we will spend all eternity. The scene in front of me was exactly as it is described in the book of Revelation, in which John writes, Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper, and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Revelation 4 verses 2 and 3. How exciting it was for me to realize I was going through the same experience the Apostle John had reported about in the last book of the Bible. The Lord had spoken to him in the same way he had invited me. Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Revelation 4 verse 1. I knew from what the Lord had told me that people were not heeding the words of the revelation, and now He wanted me to reiterate this message so that as many as possible would truly believe. Jesus took my hand and led me out of the throne room into a big, beautiful flower garden. In contrast with the horror I had seen at the beach, the peace of this immense garden filled me with love. I began to sing with joy, and a smile came automatically to my face. The Lord picked a flower, something like a rose, and gave it to me. I held on to it throughout this visit to the kingdom of heaven. The garden was so vast that I could not see where it ended. It was a true paradise of beauty, love, joy, and peace. The aroma was sweeter than any I had ever known. This is heaven, and it was more beautiful than I had ever imagined it could be. We hiked out of the garden along a narrow, winding road that led to a mountain vista overlooking a lush green valley. I could see animals of all sorts galloping and playing among the trees. I particularly noticed a spectacular deer that looked so strong and healthy. I noticed that these animals, which would usually be considered wild, were playful with one another. It was like a scene from Disney's Bambi movie. As I turned in another direction, I noticed a beautiful river. Along the river was a rock wall, and magnificent dwellings were situated on the left side of the river. Many of these homes looked like castles where only the very wealthy might live.
These are houses for my special children.
I was very curious about this place, but the Lord didn't take me closer to it. He only showed it to me from the top of the hill and from a very far distance. Beholding that sight, I realized the truth of His word. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. John 14, verses 1 to 3. There was a time when I wondered if this was simply figurative language, symbolic of heavenly things. Now I know those mansions and castles are real, and the Lord has already prepared them for us. More importantly, He wants us to be with Him there forever. The Lord led me to a different area outside the gates of the kingdom. We continued to ascend the mountain, and as we climbed higher and higher, the road became rougher and rougher. We hiked along this narrow road for a long time, and it eventually led us through a dark tunnel. When we emerged from the tunnel, I noticed that we had climbed even higher up the hillside. It seemed strange to me that heaven would have such a dark tunnel and a winding, rough road. When we reached the summit, I looked over the crest of the mountain. I could see fumes and dark smoke rising from a deep pit. It was like the crater of a volcano. And inside, I could see flames scorching a multitude of people who were screaming and crying in the kind of agony that only the severely burned truly know. The people were naked, without hair, and standing close to one another, moving like worms, and the flames were scorching their bodies. There was no escape for those who were captured in the pit. Its walls were too deep for them to climb, and hot coals of fire were all around the edges. Even though the Lord did not tell me this, I knew I was standing at the brink of hell. It was even more horrible than the description the Bible gives. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 13 to 15. Throughout the Gospels and the book of Revelation, Jesus was careful to tell us about the horrors of hell. The flames would leap out unexpectedly from all directions. People would move away, and then as soon as they seemed to think that they were safe, another fire would burst forth. There was no rest for these unfortunate victims of sin. They were doomed to spend all eternity being scorched and burned as they endeavored to escape the flames of hell. "Who are these people?" I asked.
"My daughter, these people did not know me."
He made this statement with a voice that heaved with grief. I could tell that the Lord was not pleased by the sight in front of us. It bothered him deeply. I knew that he had no control over the destinies of people who deliberately chose to reject him. These were the ones who were writhing in pain and suffering in the pit. I knew two vitally important things that I had to share with others. On one hand, heaven is real. On the other, hell is just as real. I know many people who do not believe in either place, and I knew it would become my mission to show them the reality of the afterlife. I knew my parents had never given their hearts to Jesus, so I began to wonder about them. Lord, what about my parents? I asked. I know they weren't safe, but they were good people.
I'm sorry, my daughter. There's nothing I can do for those who do not know me.
My Lord Jesus' voice was so sad when he said this. The importance of his words stung me as I realized my mother and father must be among the doomed I was watching in the pit of hell. I sobbed the whole time he showed me these scenes. The Lord touched my head and took my hand, leading me down a dark tunnel, and we emerged on another rough road that ran very far and to the edge of the pit. This mountain road led through tall trees and huge rocks. When we got to the top, I looked out over a brown and lifeless valley. Everywhere there was brown. The whole region seemed to be filled with dead grass. I noticed multitudes of people who were wearing sand-colored robes roaming aimlessly in the vicinity of the pit's yawning mouth. Their heads were hanging low and they looked very dejected and hopeless. Who are these people, Lord?
They are disobedient Christians.
How long will they have to stay in this barren, lifeless place?
Forever, my daughter. The only ones who will enter my kingdom are the pure of heart, my obedient children. Many who call themselves Christians do not live by my word, and some of them think that going to church once a week is enough. They never read my words, and they pursue worldly things. Some who even know my words never have their hearts with me.
The whole plan and purpose of God was beginning to clarify in my thinking. I remembered how Jesus had warned that it is hard to enter his kingdom, and now I had an inkling of what that meant.
My daughter, my word says that it is hard to enter the kingdom of heaven, but so few really believe this and understand its importance. I am revealing this to you so you can warn them.
As if to reiterate the importance of his message, the Lord took me to the beautiful castles I had seen earlier. As we got closer to these dwellings, I could see the streets were paved with lustrous gold and that every castle was lavishly decorated with the finest gems. It's true, heaven's streets are paved with solid gold. I longed to go into one of the castles, but the Lord stopped me by saying,
I will take you later.
I was disappointed, but I felt so privileged that I had seen the city where the saints of all the ages will reside together. The Lord and I returned to the changing room, donned the most beautiful robes and crowns imaginable, then went to the pond and sat on a rock. I couldn't truly appreciate the serenity of the scene in front of me because my mind was preoccupied with the horrifying memories of hell. I could not get the thought of my parents out of my mind. It grieved me so deeply to know that my mother and father were both in hell. I was overcome by sadness. I knew for sure that my parents never knew Jesus because no one ever preached to them. Jesus saw within me and said,
You are not happy.
Yes, Lord, I responded, realizing that he knew the reason for my despondency. A time of tender quietness followed. Then I said, Lord, I never want to leave you. His presence was the only true security I'd ever known.
My daughter, you have much work to do. I want you to write a book. This is an important book for the last days. It will be translated into many languages. I chose you for this work before you were born, and this is why my Holy Spirit is always shaking your body, to pour my power into you. If you did not have the power of the Holy Spirit, I could not use you. You must remember that my power began working in you when you first opened your heart to me. You are the daughter I trust to do this work for me.
Lord, I don't know anything.
You don't have to know. I will be teaching and guiding you in everything. Tell everyone that I am ready for whoever is ready and waiting for me. I love you, my daughter.
I began to cry, and the Lord took my hand and said,
I will take you back.
After we changed our clothing, we returned to the beach and sat together for a while. The Lord spoke to me.
I still have more to show you, and I want you to wait for me.
But we plan to go to my daughter's place next week.
Stay home, my daughter. I do not want you to travel anywhere for a while. What I am doing with you is too important for me and all my children. So I want you to concentrate on everything I show you and tell you until everything is done. Be patient.
I will do anything you tell me to do. Nothing is more important than your work.
Thank you, my daughter. I still have a lot of work for you to do. I know you are tired, so get your rest.
He left me and my body stopped shaking. Then, as usual, I wrote down everything I had seen and heard. In essence, Christianity is so simple that it eludes so many. Human beings have a tendency to need to complicate everything, including matters of faith. Jesus simply wants people to come to Him in faith so He can lead them and help them. I now knew more fully than I had ever known before that whosoever will may come to Him and receive eternal life. His word states it plainly, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. The next day, March 3rd, was filled with many new God-given experiences. From 2:30 a.m. until 4:50 a.m., the Lord was with me. He began His visit by saying,
My daughter, this is your Lord. I know you are tired, but I must show you more things.
For 15 minutes before His visit, my body shook uncontrollably. He took my hand and we walked along an earthly beach. It was a new sight for our visits to the seashore. There were many trees and bushes. We climbed over a narrow road that was lined with trees and bushes. We strolled along this lane which wound around a mountain that we ascended rapidly. Near the summit, we rested on a huge rock that was shaped something like a gigantic bear. I looked toward the ocean and I noticed that its water had turned to blood once more. Again, I saw people running on the beach. These were not casual joggers. They were running in fear and panic. The panorama before us helped me understand what they were running from. To my left, the mountains and the buildings situated on each mountainside were all ablaze. It was an inferno worse than the annual brush fires that plagued the citizens of South California. Next, I noticed huge fires bursting forth everywhere. People were on fire. Some were jumping into the ocean for relief, but when they stepped into the water, they would fall because of the fire. Everyone had become a human torch. I began to scream in horror and compassion for those I saw. The bloody ocean had turned into a cauldron of blazing brimstone. The sand was a bed of hot, flaming coals. The people were running from the fire that pursued them, surrounded them, and licked hungrily at their bodies. A few of them were naked and had no protection at all from the fire. It was futile anyway, for there was no escape from the scorching enemy that threatened to devour them. They could not flee to the mountains because they were engulfed in flames. No place was safe. I was screaming the whole time and I began to sob, Lord, what is happening?
You must remember, my daughter, that I am showing you these things so you will be able to let everyone know what is going to happen soon.
When will this happen, Lord?
After I bring my children home. Many people do not believe my word. That's why I want you to write a book that describes your experiences with me. I want the whole world to see this book, and I want them to realize that I am ready for them. I love all my children, but I cannot bring them to my kingdom if they are not ready for me. I will never force my children to do anything if they don't have a heart for me. I have been planning for you to do this work for a long time because my kingdom is completely ready now.
The Lord had to keep on reminding me and reassuring me of His plans because I was still so stunned that He had chosen me for such an important assignment. It was beyond my ability to comprehend the enormity of it all. The implications of the Lord's words to me were overwhelmingly important. There was a part of me that wanted to shrink from such an all-consuming work, but my commitment to obey the Lord in all things kept me going. I knew that He was preparing me for an end times work of epic proportions, and I was thrilled and yet intimidated. I knew He still had much work to do in my life.
I will take you to heaven again.
Once we had arrived in heaven, we did not take time to go through the usual procedures. The Lord immediately led us away to the peak we had seen yesterday outside the gates of the kingdom. This time, we did not change our clothing. To get there, we had to walk on a mountainside, through a dark tunnel, and on to the summit of the mountain. When we arrived at the top, we looked down into a yawning pit that was so wide and deep that it appeared to be endless. It was a frightening, disturbing scene.
I want you to see this again.
It was so hard to look into the pit of hell, but immediately my attention was directed toward a figure who was waving at me. Through the smoky haze, I could determine that the person was a woman. Then I heard her voice. She was speaking in my native Korean tongue, and she began to scream, "Hot! Hot!" I knew that voice. The smoke cleared and I looked directly into the eyes of the tormented woman. I immediately recognized my mother. She stretched out her right hand and waved it at me, saying, "So hot! So hot!" I remember so clearly her eyes and my eyes meeting, and the way her eyes begged me to help her. My very own mother was screaming for help from the gaping pit of Hades. My heart stopped. A knife of cold hopelessness stabbed at my heart. My mother was in hell. I felt as if the boulder I was sitting on was on top of me. I wanted so desperately to reach out and take my mother's hand so that I could lift her from the licking tongues of fire that swirled all around her. It was the worst moment of my life. There is no word in the dictionary that truly identifies what I felt at that moment. It was a mixture of fear, desperation, hurt, terror, sadness, and hopelessness. Then I realized that these were the very emotions that my mother would have to experience throughout all eternity. My mother had died when she was 40, but her face looked the same as I had remembered her. She was a beautiful woman, but her expression reflected the torment she was experiencing in the pit. I wanted to touch her, to hold her, to tell her everything would be okay, but I knew that these things had been made impossible because of her choices in life. I knew that I could not help her, that even the Lord could not help her because she didn't know Him. She didn't know anything about the Lord because no one had ever preached to her. It is not knowing the Lord that leads a person into hell. And this is why I want to tell the whole world about the pit I saw in the wonderful kingdom of heaven. Next, I saw my father, my stepmother, and a close friend who had died when she was only 19. They were all in hell. They looked the same as I had remembered them, but their faces were distorted by the agony of their punishment. I felt I couldn't take it anymore, and I turned my head away from the dreadful scene in front of me. Then I heard another familiar voice screaming out of the pit. It was a friend who had died 10 years before. Next to her was my nephew who died when he was 20. The last time I had seen him, he was only 10. But he looked the same as I had remembered him, only he was taller. I began to weep profusely. I had been crying the whole time, wailing like a child. So many of my loved ones and friends had made choices that had cast them into the fires of hell for all eternity. It was too much for me to bear. Some of them, I'm sure, had heard about the Lord, but I felt quite certain that no one had ever explained to them who Jesus was. I felt quite certain that if they had known who He truly was, then they would not have made the choices they had made. How I wished I could tell them about Him who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6. The pit of hell was a long way from us, but it was as if I had a telephoto lens that enabled me to see these people very closely. I could not control my tears, and the Lord lovingly wiped my tears and stroked my hair. It was then that I realized the Lord was as sad as I was, and I could sense that He was crying along with me. He broke the silence.
The reason I am showing this to you, my daughter, is so that you will fully understand that no matter how good people are, they will go to hell if they do not accept me.
I nodded my head.
I know your parents and friends were good people in many ways, but they were not saved. That is why this is the only place for them. It is here that they will have to spend eternity. Daughter, I know it hurts you to see them, but you must include this experience in the book you will write for me. This is why I show you your parents and others as you remember them. You have to warn the people of the world about the reality of hell. I want to see as many souls saved as possible before I return to gather my church unto myself. My Father loves all His children, but He has given them certain laws that He expects them to live by. When I saw your loved ones, I felt deeper pain than you did, but I must live by my Father's word. Once a person goes to hell, there is no way for them to ever get out again. I want the unsaved to know this. The reality of hell is forever. I love every one of my children, but I cannot force anyone to love me or to obey me. If they will open their hearts to me, then I can help them to believe in me and love me. I want to save as many souls as possible. I want believers everywhere to preach the gospel. This is most important to me.
It was enough. I had seen enough and heard enough to propel me into a ministry of evangelistic fervor that could never subside. How could I ever remain silent after all I had seen and heard? I would tell everyone I saw about Jesus, so that they could receive eternal life in heaven. Nothing in all the world was more important than this. My own parents and so many other family members and friends were in hell. I could not stand by and watch anyone else go there. I was so happy to know that my book would find its way into the hands of many people who need to know that hell is just as real as heaven is. Even though the things I saw in hell had greatly unnerved me, they had planted a resolve in my spirit that nothing would ever be able to dissipate. I was determined that no one else within my reach would be able to deny the reality of hell and heaven. Heaven is real, and I want everyone to be able to go there with me. I know that this is the Lord's desire as well. He says it in His word. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. 2 Peter 3, verses 9 and 10. The last days are truly upon us. The Lord's patience has been most gracious up until now, but He is getting ready to come again to receive His children to Himself. It is then that the people who remain on earth will truly experience hell on earth before they end up in the fiery inferno of everlasting destruction. My job is to warn the whole world about these events that are just around the corner.